Hello, this is Synthesizer Patel. I would like to introduce you to the Miniterm GreenKey 800. It is a very popular compact model and I'm sure you will have a lot of fun playing it. Please though, remember to switch on the burglar alarm when you are not using it. It was very expensive.
Prepare to be blown away by Ben and Ralph. Darmalars begins in T-minus 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42. The Darmalars podcast begins now.
Sunshine can't grow Christmas trees alone. They need raindrops.
Merry Christmas, Ben.
Merry Christmas, Ralph.
How's your Christmas going?
Oh, it's a beautiful Christmas morning here in Southern California land.
It is. And, you know, I know it's un-PC to say Christmas, but what do you celebrate at holidays?
What do I celebrate specifically on December 25th? Christmas.
So do I. So Merry Christmas to us. And happy holidays to you.
That's right. Merry Christmas to us. Happy holidays to everyone else. And in the middle, we'll find our peace.
Yes, we will.
In the middle of my pants, I'll find my peace. So,
I'm waiting for it.
Zip.
There you go. There you go. Welcome, everyone, to Darmalars. I am...
Reindeer Ralph.
And this is...
Bah Humbug Ben.
Ooh. That's a good one. I like it.
Thank you.
So anyway, big episode for us today.
Our big Christmas episode.
It's our big Christmas episode, and I've got so many gifts to talk about.
Yeah.
No, but here's the thing, is this will be our first podcast on the Lost Podcast Network.
Yay.
You get to know that.
Well, welcome us aboard, everybody.
Yeah, welcome us aboard.
Send us some fruit baskets.
It's us. Get used to it. We're here to stay.
Aboard.
Yeah, just so you know, we're going to have to edit pretty soon because it looks like this is not going to go past a minute and 30 seconds.
Well, that's awesome to hear.
Yeah. Oh, there it goes.
Oh, it went anyway. It's a Christmas miracle.
Christmas miracles already.
So, okay, we're sitting around. We got our hot cocoa. We're wearing our footy pajamas. We just came downstairs. We're playing with our Zeppelins. Tell us about Christmas, Rob.
Christmas. What did you get for Christmas besides a Zeppelin?
I got a Zeppelin and... Oh, wait. Besides the Zeppelin, I got another Zeppelin, apparently.
And, a fleet of Zeppelins?
Yes. None of them made of lead.
Oh, the Japanity. Prince of Space, your weapons are useless against me.
I got a bunch of Zeppelins, and I got a Zeppo Marx DVD collection. And
did
I
you
got,
get that Zippo you wanted?
I got a Zippo, yeah. And I got a zipper.
For Christmas, my belated Christmas present to you is going to be Zeppo riding a Zeppelin Zippo.
Oh my god, that'd be awesome.
Christmas on Sesame Street, where today is sponsored by Z.
That's right. I can just picture Zeppo riding that Zeppelin with his hat in the air, a la Slim Pickens.
That's awesome.
Yeah! No, he wouldn't be doing that. Oh wait, I'm thinking of Harpo.
You're thinking of Harpo.
Are you going through my wallet, Ryan? Just because it's pink doesn't mean it's not mine.
Producer Ryan has decided that waffle though, rifling is a good pastime.
Even though the first thing in there is Stevie's credit card.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
You're a kept man.
I am a kept man.
At this holiday season.
This time of year.
So this is what we're going to get to right now. We're going to try to make this podcast short and sweet, just like me. And... Oh, and we're going to get to it. Let's talk about the Lost Season 2 DVD extravaganza preview review from the Darmalars.
Come on. If we had like some sort of sweet sound effect there.
If only
like,
there was a way we can
like Santa Claus
get someone to do that for us.
His sleigh.
Which, by the way, one thing, the first thing I got today for Christmas was the awesome opening overproduced bumper from Scott.
From Scott.
Thank you very much, Steve, for that. It was awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty outstanding to get something like that on Christmas. To open that MPEG. Have it shining at you. It's totally awesome. It's over the top. It's outstanding. And it really puts you in the mood for some Darmalars.
Yes.
At least it puts me in the mood for some Dharma Lars.
Go for some Dharma Lars. Alright, so let's get to the DVD. Now, we got the DVD today.
For Christmas.
And at 3 o'clock, and now it is like, I don't know, 7 o'clock. So for 4 hours, we shuffled and tried to get as much stuff to review as we can.
Yeah.
So here we go. First of all, I'm going to talk about the packaging design, which at first I was totally against. If you go to the Dharma Lars blog on MySpace, I put up a picture of the proposed cover, and it looked like crap. It was the worst looking cover. It used font, which is probably the worst font you can use. It just looked bad. But
next to Times New Roman.
I'm fine. No, this is worse than Times New Roman. This is worse than Arial Black. This is like the worst font ever. This is like Maurice Binder, James Bond opening title sequence font.
Oh, man. And it's just called font?
I have no idea. That's what I call it. It's devoid of any kind of creativity. But anyway, to my surprise, the artwork was different, and it looks awesome, and it's packaged really well.
It's packaged well, and it'll match first season very well, which is important.
For me, yeah. I'm a big fan of spine continuity.
Yeah.
That's why I'm a huge fan of Criterion Collection.
Yes, exactly. And, they always have the same style.
And, yeah. So, anyway, packaging, great, awesome. There's a cool, like, Dharma-esque booklet that's inside that has all your episode guide, everything you need to know about what you're going to watch on which disc. It's just like the first season, yeah. But it's set up like a Dharma pamphlet.
One thing I pointed out, though, is this is the same thing with season one, is each episode synopsis just talks about what happens on the island. There's
yes.
no reference to the flashback. So unless you're savvy enough, unless you remember, it could be hard to find an episode.
Yes.
So, but that's just the way it is.
Because when I look at the guide and it says what Kate did, I forget that's a Sawyer episode and I'm going to get confused.
Yeah. No, well, not that example.
But. No, but us nerds, and if you're listening to this podcast, it's not a big deal for you, but Ben's totally looking out for John Q. Public, who
yeah.
gets this and say, I want to watch an episode about Charlie,
yeah.
and nowhere in the synopsis does it say Charlie,
yeah.
and you have to guess.
Exactly. Steve Lunchbox is at home thinking, I want to see the one with all them pretty flashbacks, and I'm just looking out for him.
Have you seen the Frapper map?
Uh-oh, what have I done?
Exactly. All right, let's get to the other designs of the DVDs themselves and the inside of the packaging.
Yeah.
As you know, with season one, the discs had characters on each of them. This time around, it has icons from season two.
Yeah, like prop elements. You know, we'll just tell you what's on them.
I'll go through all of them. Okay. I have here's what I'll let you know what's on each individual disc itself,
okay.
and then I'll go through what's on the menu of that disc.
Okay, good.
Okay, so here we go. For disc one, the outside looks like the countdown clock with the 108 minutes time posted. When you open up that disc, the menu is of Jack and Locke looking down into the hatch. Or through the hatch.
Through the hatch, yeah. into the bunker.
Disc 2 has the teddy bear from the other 48 days. The little boy.
Yeah.
Cornelius, I think it was his name, or Jerry, I'm not sure. when you open up that menu, it's just a shot of foliage, like ferns. But anybody who's a Lost fan knows that that's where the footsteps walked by.
When you see the teddy bear.
Disc 3 is a close-up of Echo's Jesus stick.
Yeah.
Which is really cool because you can read all the junk on it. Which
you can
is
read
really
Hadith and Revelations and.
When you open up that menu, it's a shot of Sun sitting on the beach, wondering how Jin is doing. Obviously, it's a pretty cool menu. Disc 4, the disc is has a picture of the Mary statue on it, and if you open up the menu on that disc, it's
heroin.
It's heroin.
It's raining from the sky.
Lickable technology. You can lick your menu.
That's right. The producers of Lost are getting you high.
But there's it's which is funny because it's actually a shot of the shelf from inside the bunker, which is a Lava Lamp is in the foreground, which that goes with hippies and
getting high.
No good high people. And also the records, the stack of records, which is funny because I designed the current Mayakumasa logos with the record stacks.
Yeah.
And it totally looks like that. So I'm really fired up on that menu.
That's
that
cool.
Might be my favorite menu. Plus the music isn't eerie. It's more of like a 60s pop, like retro British invasion type music.
So not Geronimo Jackson, but maybe
it, it might be Geronimo Jackson for all I know. Disc 5 on the disc artwork is the backlight map or the black light map from Lockout
on the blast door.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the black light map that's on Charlie's head.
Good point.
So there's that, and that's really cool. I mean, it's like these iconic images, and when you open up that disc, it's the medical hallway for the Caduceus.
Yeah,
the Caduceus hatch door place.
The staff.
Yes, the staff. Disc 6 has the execute button on it, and when you open up that menu, it's a tree, but I think it's a tree that's near the others' camp.
Oh.
It's not a very good menu. Then Disc 7, which is your special features, has the orientation film canister on it. And when you open up that menu, it's got the orientation. It's got like the it has an animated menu with a greeting from Dr. Marvin Kendall or
Mark Wickman. Or
Dr.
Acula.
Dr. Acula. So those are what the menus look like. Great stuff. There's commentaries on the following episodes, what Kate did, the whole truth, Dave, and what's the other one?
23rd Psalm?
23rd Psalm, and I think that's it for the commentaries. I was able to, in the last 4 hours, watch the entire Dave commentary, and I watched half of the Whole Truth commentary. The Whole Truth commentary wasn't too exciting as far as fun stuff to listen for, but I did take notes on the Dave commentary, which I will share with you now.
Cool.
Here are some of the stuff that was in the Dave commentary, which you'll be
fine. I'm interested to hear them because I was at work.
Jorge Garcia. Mostly I just took Jorge snippets. He did mention the Apollo bars.
Nice.
And a Hanzo conspiracy with the Apollo bars.
Nice.
Which was pretty fun. There's a scene where after he dumps all his food off,
yeah,
he just gets rid of his stash and he walks up to the drop for the Dharma drop. And he says, "No way." Now, apparently the screenwriters of that episode will put in quotation marks an expletive. It'll say expletive with quotation marks around it. And so that was actually Jorge's nod to the screenwriters because he can say whatever he wants there. And he said, which is pretty funny. Another thing which I thought was really cool is Jorge in the commentary kind of had a nod to the Jay and Jack podcast.
Oh, right on.
In which he mentions that in the basketball game at the mental hospital, that it is in fact not Kenny Loggins who is playing basketball, which was stated by Jack.
That was from one of Jack's crackpots.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of cool. Whether Jorge like specifically mentioned it was for Jack HJ or not,
right?
It's still for me, I believe.
Or just a guy that was too similar to Kenny Loggins and they noticed it independently. Either way, it's still pretty cool.
Yeah. Jorge said that the coconuts thrown at him by Dave that were hitting him were rubber coconuts, but in fact rubber coconuts, as far as them hurting, they hurt a lot less except when they hit you in the nuts.
Snap.
Jorge also does point out that there is another woman in the ward other than
Lily?
Other than Libby.
Libby.
Jesus Christ. It's been a long summer.
Wow, it sure has.
You need to get that season 2 DVD and brush up on your Lost.
Yeah, I know.
He mentioned that he wishes Jorge wishes that there was more body marks on Sawyer after giving him his beating.
He wishes he was all cut up.
But he figured that since there isn't all kinds of bruises and stuff on him, that it turns out that one of the things that Hurley possesses is the trait that Hurley
uh-huh.
can beat guys up and not leave any marks like a ninja. So
His whole body is like a sock and a bar of soap and a sock.
There's the another thing mentioned that the cave set no longer exists. So they actually tore that down.
I heard them mention that. Like they had to like write a line in there about not being at the caves anymore because everyone because they used that set space to create the hatch. Is that like production wise?
I think that's what it is. They're just like you can only have so many.
Real estate is kind of at a premium here in beautiful Hawaii.
Yeah. So that's that. He also mentioned a theory about Locke being one of the 23 people on the deck.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And that's people, how he lost his...
Yeah, people think that that's how he lost the use of his legs, because he was one of the 23 people.
Well, maybe. Maybe he was throwing a party for his box company.
You never know.
We don't know. Oh, no, but that's before... That was before
he
went
on the water. Yeah, that was all before he went on the water. And then here's the thing that I jotted down, which I felt was a direct recognition of Malcolm Lassas, was that the director, Jack Bender, who was the director of the episode, who's also in the commentary for Dave, used the word smutch.
Smutch?
Smutch. He mentioned that Jorge had a smutch of peanut butter on his chin. And if you go on the thesaurus, if you're a loyal Malcolm Lassas listener like we are, Craig's term for taint is smutch.
Smutch? Because it's not smutch this thing and it's not smutch that one?
That's what Craig, decided that's the justification for using that. But the word taint doesn't in the thesaurus doesn't mean the area between your balls and ass.
It means a stain.
It means to stain or to taint something.
Right.
So a smutch would be...
Wow.
So they use the word smutch in the Dave commentary,
which
I believe is a direct...
A tip of the hat?
A tip of the hat to Craig.
Did they tip their hat to you and explain why they went freaking night for day in that Polaroid shot?
No, and they actually talked about the Polaroid shot, and during the scene where the Polaroid shot was taken, decided to show everything that was... should have been in the shot, and then when they came back, said, see, look, all the...
The carrots are there, Connect Four is there.
Yeah, but
made no reference to the fact that it had changed so utterly. That's interesting. Yeah.
So, that was pretty interesting. What do you say we get to some features?
Let's do
I'm
it.
Sure this is the fun stuff.
I
want to
point out, though, that the... I want to point out that the commentaries, as Ryan noticed, are optional. It says that they're feature optional commentaries, so...
No mandatory commentaries for you guys.
That's right. We're living in America now.
You choose whether to watch your commentary. You want to hear Brian Burke talk?
Go for it.
It's up to you. If you don't...
Then that's your bag, baby.
Yeah.
So, okay, tell us about some features.
Well, why don't you start? Let's talk about the features.
Okay. Talk about some features. The seventh disc is all full up of... Seventh? Yeah,
seventh disc
is all full up of features.
That's not one of the numbers.
Ooh, thank goodness. And Ralph actually found some Easter eggs.
I found some Easter eggs on each of the menus from the
special features disc.
From the special features menus. I won't tell you how to get to them. They're pretty easy. If you just scroll through your menu by pressing right or left instead of up and down, you should see dots appear that'll help you out. Let me go through the Easter eggs. On the main menu of Disc 7, there is an Easter egg that is about the homemade Darmalar cookies.
Yeah.
Apparently...
Not the Darmalars. No, the Oreo-style ones.
I guess they're just...
They're the chocolate
Dharma
sandwich cookies.
Yeah.
They're
Dharma cookies. It was the episode Dave where Sawyer's trying to split up Oreo-type cookies. And apparently they weren't Oreos, they were actually created and pressed with the Dharma logo.
With the Swan logo, no less.
And like, so, and there's no way anybody has an H and F D to be able to notice that. Like
a hard enough dick?
Not a hard enough, high enough.
A high enough dick.
A high enough definition to even know that.
Yeah, I mean.
But the fact that they're out there, I say fuck Apollo bars. I want these Dharma cookies.
Dharma cookies?
Yeah, these things are, these. They looked awesome.
They looked like they were more than double stuffed because they were homemade. So
yeah, just like Ben.
That's right. So I'm homemade. More than double stuffed and there's cream spilling out all over the place.
As you'll see in the menu, there's a phase. There's three phases. In the phase one, Easter egg is essentially Dominic Moynihan on the set of Fire and Water giving a possible answer to what did one snowman say to the other snowman, and which is that his answer was,
"You smell carrots?
Do you smell carrots?" So,
which I'm pretty sure Desmond says, like, in the last episode of the second season.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
But this was dated December 2005, so yeah. I don't know if he knew that answer yet, or if he had to Google it like I did.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the Phase 2 section. The Easter egg on that is on the beach with Evie.
Yeah.
Which is just Evangeline Lilly just chatting it up.
She just talks for a while. Yeah, on the beach with Evie. She freezes time with her fingers and then talks to her dad, played by Burt Reynolds.
It's funny. It's a funny hat. It's bigger than regular size.
Hey, Evie.
So she
talks about, like, her take as an actress and how she prepares and the difference
between... And her lack of preparation.
Yeah, yeah. The difference between season one and season two. One thing I noticed about that is, even though she's supposedly Canadian, her abouts and her outs sound fine. Like, I could be able to pick her out as a Canadian.
They are acceptable for Ben to listen to.
For me.
He doesn't scream and run around the house punching things.
And she doesn't have enough freckles to make me scream either, so...
She does, but she wears makeup.
Ah, well, either way,
you need to get one of those, like, those pictures that you see in National Geographic, where it's, like, black and white and it shows every single last freckle.
Yeah. Yeah, get one of those and...
I'm down with that. And the Easter egg on the third phase of the menus was just a photo of Jack Bender with Desmond's mural. Apparently, Jack Bender... painted that mural.
Yeah, in 4 hours.
In 4 hours, no less.
Yeah, and he didn't have an entire clue about the upcoming mythology, so it's interesting to me how much people have been able to glean from this mural, considering the little overarching preparation that went into it.
Yeah, like, he just put in, like, your basic Lost-type stuff, like fish and the numbers and things like that, and just decided...
go for it.
And then people, like, made up their own stories based on just basic Lost information. Like, I could have, like, anyone could have thrown up, like, if you put up a polar bear and a Viking, I'm sure someone in Lost World would be able to figure out how Vikings fit into the whole polar bear scenario.
There would be 16 Viking theories on the internet.
Okay. Let's get through the three phases that are on the Disc 7, the special features.
And when Ralph's talking about three phases, I don't know if you remember when we went to Comic-Con, they showed us a video biscuit of Marvin Candle talking about the three phases that you'll go through on the island while you're part of the experiments. And that's what these are. It's like observation, conditioning, and whatever the last one is.
Which are essentially titles for just the way they split up these menus.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. Like... When we saw the stuff at Comic-Con, it wasn't as cool as this menu is. It's really just really cool.
Yeah.
Definitely check it out. Let's get to Phase 1. There's a couple of things that we watched. We watched probably the first half of An Anatomy of an Episode.
Which is kind of a front-to-back look at how a particular episode gets produced.
Essentially from conception to... airing an episode.
Right.
And all kinds of fun stuff in there. You guys are going to love it. There's nothing specific that I have marked down for that. Did you?
No, I don't have any notes for that one.
But it's just one of those things where it's like an inside view on fire plus water. And just the ins and outs and how they make Oahu look like the UK and just all this cool stuff.
Yeah.
It really shows you how much time is spent going into the going into each episode. It's really cool. Another thing on Phase 1 is the World of Sawyer.
Yeah, this is one that we kind of were teased with at Comic-Con, where we understood it to be just him saying all the nicknames that he says over the course
of
the show.
Cut together into one, like, long presentation. But it's an actual documentary on Sawyer's nicknames, the genesis of Sawyer's nicknames,
just his style, the way he deals with people.
There's a moment where Daniel Day-Kim says, if all the keen eye observers of Lost will notice that in one scene, Jin does call Sawyer Chewy, which I thought was one of my favorite nicknames.
I like it, but I don't know if it works thrown back at Sawyer.
It totally doesn't, but if you don't know English,
yeah,
and someone keeps calling you the same thing...
It's like Napoleon in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure calling everyone buddy.
It's like me calling the dude Sam from Quantum Leap.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Ralph always calls Al from Quantum Leap Sam, because that's what he says half the time is, Sam! So, he gets mixed up.
And I call Tony Danza Sam as well. So, that's...
I don't even want to know what you call Man Crazy Mona.
I call her every night, that's what I call her.
Mona? She, Mona?
Okay, Mona?
Mona or Blanche?
Mona.
Definitely Mona.
Mona over... Are you kidding me? You know I like redheads.
I know, and you know that redheads are crazy in the sack.
And I like longer hair.
Yeah. And that Blanche, there's just something about those pantsuits.
She's got STDs, you know it.
Oh, yeah, she's dirty. Yeah. Good point. Okay, actually, so
how does Blanche become more dirty than Mona?
Well, because Mona was always trying, but Blanche was always
scoring. I think Mona succeeded.
No, because the whole thing was like, she would always be like, here's the difference. Next morning, it's
Mona,
like, oh, wow, Mom, you're wearing the same thing as last night. It's like, yeah, because I fucked a dude.
But Mona lived in upscale Connecticut, whereas Blanche hurt herself out in like Florida, Miami, Florida, or wherever she was.
Check the Frapper map before you make any comments like that. are we safe in Florida?
Here, let me check. Yes, Florida does look like a wiener.
Okay, so yeah, she comes from a state shaped like a wiener. She's bound to have more STDs.
The first person
to monstrum.
What does that mean?
It means it's already been shown. QED. Okay. I'm not even sure I got the last word right. That's the kind of jerk I am.
I don't even care that you got the last word right.
That's the kind of jerk you are.
So, here we go. Let's move on to phase two.
Profit.
Profit. No. Profit's phase three.
Phase two is, I don't know.
Okay. The first one we checked out was the bloopers.
Which is always fun.
Really fun, and it really allows you to nerd it up, like, ooh, look at, that's very un-Sawyer-like.
They're smiling at each other.
Charlie's not being serious in this scene, he's having fun.
It really made me happy on Christmas morning to watch those bloopers.
But there is a theme in the bloopers, which is a lot of man love. Yeah. And I'm not talking just goodwill towards men.
No, right. Which I'm talking, is important this time of year.
I'm talking Naveen Andrews kissing Terry O'Quinn on the lips.
And liking it, as far as I can tell. So yeah, I guess those are the kind of jokes you get into backstage, right?
Did you say backstage? I'm talking about... Alright. also on there was the UK promo, which we didn't watch because we saw
it. I've seen it already.
You've seen it already.
It's alright, I guess. I've seen it.
I really didn't look at much more on Phase 2. That was with the Lost... That have the Lost...
I don't know.
I'm sorry, Ryan's squeaking right now.
Something we said 10 minutes ago must have been funny.
I'm sorry, this isn't going to be useful. I'm not even describing.
Hurry, go! It's Christmas.
Well, this picture here on the back of
Star Wars Insider
from all the way back in what month was this? This was months ago because it's December now. But it looks like Darth Vader is using his lightsaber as a wiener.
Wow, he's totally leaning into it too.
Ah, yes, that's wiener. Pretty funny.
Wiener comedy.
We'll put a picture of that up if we
can. I don't have a scanner. What do I look like?
Matt? What do I look like?
In the big bucks?
Oh, a scanner?
Matt jokes go over big.
That's right.
Matt Tracker from Mask. Yeah. He had money.
Probably had a scanner.
T-Bob was a scanner in addition to a scooter. All right, here we go, guys. Let's go to phase three.
Profit.
Yes, profit. Now, there's this thing, the Lost Connection.
Oh,
okay,
Jesus.
No. Before you start getting all exasperated, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the Lost Connection. So it opens up with this awesome thing where it talks about six degrees, but there's some other word for it, and it's narrated by Mr. Carlton Cruz. And it's very interesting, and it's very cool, and it talks about if you mention any person on the globe and... Then you go back, there's there's six other people that leads it back to you.
In theory,
and yeah. This whole setup.
Look at all these people. You know what?
Shows these pictures of people who are probably members of the crew. But it shows all these people, and then it starts showing footage of, like, Sawyer running into Dr. Shepard's car door, and... just all these different character tie-ins, and you're like, sweet, that's
Saeed
awesome.
Being on the TV. And then I'm thinking it's just going to show it.
It's showing this cool stuff, and then it shows this picture of Jack, and it says, it'll all lead back, you know, every connection could lead back to one man. And it shows a picture of Jack waking up on the island.
Like the very first shot that we saw of the show.
Yes. And it's this picture of Jack, and it goes from that picture into a menu. Now it's the picture, and it has four colored wires coming out.
Yeah, it's like his picture is in the middle of a frame, in the middle of the screen, and there's wires leading out of it.
A blue one, green one, red one, and yellow one. And then that frame turns into a menu, and you look at this menu, and you have to decide which color wire you want to go to next.
Oh, man.
And that's when I said, fuck that.
Yeah.
I said, Ben, I don't have time to go through all of this because it looks like trying to untangle your Christmas lights yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
It is horrible. It's going to be great for diehard fans, but man.
We might even have, like, we talk about it now because we've got so much going on. We've got turkey to eat later, but, sure. You know, a week from now, we're going to be taking down the tree, throwing it out, we'll be bored. We might put it in and try it and find out it's, like, the greatest thing ever. But
it could be a Boxing Day thing.
It could be a Boxing Day thing, sure, something tomorrow. To try tomorrow.
Yeah, because as soon as I start getting into it, I'm going to want to box your ears.
What?
Oh, wow.
Boxing Day. Don't even mention Boxing Day around this guy. He hates Canadians.
Do you really?
Kim and T-Dot, if you ever meet Ben, I will hold him down while you punch him in the face.
Just because I want to be able to know if someone's Canadian. Perhaps have them marked Canadians? In some way. No, I don't hate Canadians. Freaking Bill Shatner? Michael J. Fox?
Michael W. Fox?
What?
I have no idea. Mike Myers.
I should have picked
Mike
better,
Myers?
I should have picked a better letter. W's kind of stupid.
Well, yeah.
Michael G. Fox.
Oh, see?
See, that's like that movie we like.
Michael G. E. Smith.
I forget the what was the name. Give me no, don't say the movie, but say the
It's William F. Buckley and William G. Buckley.
William G. Buckley. Have you seen the Gonzo commentary for Muppets from Space?
No, what's it like?
They talk about getting F. Murray Abraham to be in the beginning and how they were trying to get G. Murray Abraham. And they're having a problem. It's very funny. Muppets from Space. On DVD now.
That sounds awesome.
Stocking stuffer, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, then let's... also on Phase 3 was the theory section, which was probably my favorite thing on here.
That was pretty cool.
The theories, where it's the cast members talking about their favorite theories, Damon Lindelof talking about his favorite theories that he can't talk about, fans, they went to fans' homes.
Yeah.
And they mentioned theories that they enjoy. It was great.
It was an interesting... it's interesting to mention because if there's anything that's important about Lost, it's how so many people are so into the mythology. You know, there's thousands of people on websites talking about Lost every week, trying to figure it out, trying to come up with theories.
And Q's talking about how he didn't even imagine that this many people would be, you know, spending a lot of their free time, like, really picking these things apart. It's really cool. I think that was my favorite thing on there. Cool. It's like 15 minutes long.
Were there any shared theories that you hadn't heard before or were interesting to you?
I don't get really into the outlandish theories, but there was some outlandish theories, like the whole island is actually on the back of a giant turtle that hasn't awoken yet, which would be a cool concept if it was Lost anime. But, like, just things like that. Yeah.
Or like, Walt crashed on the island alone. He's, like, the sole survivor, and he's imagining everything as a way of keeping himself entertained. But that was also brought up in the context of he's been smoking banana peels, which enables him to have...
Yeah, that was Dominic's theory that he subscribed to. So. Really cool. Really cool. And then it talks to... who was it? It was...
Josh Holloway said that he didn't care, like...
Josh Holloway said he just wants to let it unfold. So did, Matthew Fox.
Yeah.
I think it was Josh. Was it Josh Holloway?
Maybe I'm thinking of a different thing that Josh Holloway said. At one point he said, of course, he doesn't know what's happening, and they don't tell him, and he prefers it that way because then he wouldn't have to lie to people.
Yes. Yes, he's not privy to that information. And then the last thing we're going to talk about with this great, great box set, which we've just hit the tip of the iceberg, and yeah, I'm loving it.
You watched like one episode.
I watched one and a half episodes.
And folks, I guarantee you, by this time next week, Ralph will have watched every episode, every commentary, and every feature.
Before the Rose Parade.
Before the Rose Parade.
I don't even watch the Rose Parade.
Well, then you'll have more time.
I hate flowers.
So that means you can't do something before it, then?
Nope.
It doesn't even exist enough to be a benchmark.
It can't even be a parameter because he hates it so much.
Up yours, Bob Eubanks.
And Stephanie, again, something nobody else outside.
Does Bob Eubanks and Stephanie Edwards not broadcast worldwide?
They're not broadcast like nationwide, but I think there's some markets that do pick them up.
It's like the Rose Parade. People don't want to watch it?
Yeah, people want to watch it, but it's on NBC and Home and Garden and CBS. Like,
probably Al Roker.
Yeah, but as far as that, that's like a local thing.
And we have like
a few markets who are like WFV, now CW. Of course, the CW has been in effect for 3 months now, right? It's been awesome.
Do I get it?
Yeah.
I'll have to not check it out, right? The CW? Is there anything on there that I should even...
Yeah, it's like the best of the WB and UPN.
I'm all over
like
it.
Which is like 0x0 equals...
Is it like PAX?
No, it's not PAX. I don't know what you're talking... No, the CW is what the WB and UPN are merging to.
I see what you're talking
about. I can't believe that you haven't picked up on that since it's been on the air for the past 3 months. We're in December.
I don't watch TV.
Oh.
I don't watch TV.
It's been on the air for 3 months.
I only watch Lost, which, by the way, season 3... Best season yet.
I'm looking forward to season 3. I'm looking forward to the second half of season 3.
I am too.
Because the first half has been so awesome.
Because it's Christmas time.
Okay.
Nail that point home with the fucking velvet hammer.
Wow.
That's what I call my penis, actually.
The fucking velvet hammer.
The fucking velvet hammer.
Sorry for all you kids listening. Let's go to the final thing on phase 3, which is Secrets of the Hatch, which is a really awesome... just take on the myth of the hatch, the physical construction of the hatch, the production of the hatch, all the little eccentricities of the hatch, anything you want to know about the bunker is all there.
So much stuff, like stuff I didn't even... I mean, they counted all the hash marks. I guess they had to while they were making them. But that was interesting.
I knew this already, and the sound that the timer makes is a grocery store barcode reader.
Yeah, so, scanning your groceries.
So I went to Walmart recently for some god awful reason, and nonstop hearing that sound. I was ready to push some old lady's button out that front door.
I was ready to execute some bitch in front of me.
I'm gonna go get a gun and go take the green. No, that's violence towards old people's not good.
No, okay. Unless it's euthanasia and they want it. That's okay. It's didn't you see Million Dollar Baby?
Well, no.
Which wasn't about the elderly, but just. You know,
but it was about the young kids in Asia.
Sure.
I saw that joke on Benny Hill once.
Really?
Where she's talking about euthanasia, and of course Benny Hill's playing an Asian person.
Oh boy! So sensitive.
So you know, a couple tops flew off, and they grabbed a bald dude's head.
I honestly didn't see it going there. That's interesting.
Was it explaining the show that the Arrow Hatch was number one?
Yeah. No, not on the show, but in that feature they said that.
Well, that's why I brought it up.
Yeah. No, I don't think anything. I mean, there's that whole thing where the Station 3, like people, I was calling the Swan Station 3, but then if you really look at it, it's possible that it's just Film 3 is about the Swan. Mm-hmm. Stuff, Film 3 of 6. So, I mean, I don't know. They did, but they said
that's what
it.
He said.
They said it like the Arrow was number one.
But until they actually say it on the show, I'm just going to kind of whatever.
Well, I thought maybe they were talking about chronologically. Maybe the Taileys found the Arrow before... the Fuseys found the Swan. I mean, definitely they did.
In the timeline.
In the timeline of the show. But I don't know if that makes any sense.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Anyway, my final review of the DVD, even though I haven't watched it all, I only spent 3 hours of it, and there's something like 8 hours of extras. Awesome. You're all going to buy it. If you're listening to this, you're going to get it.
Yeah, you're going to get it for Christmas. Gonna, like
I'm surprised you didn't buy it months ago. Well, like, surprised you held out till Christmas.
I live in a gutter and perform this podcast out of a storm drain, so I don't have the money to get that. So luckily Santa brought it for me.
And I bought 3 or 4 copies, and I just threw them around because I'm super rich.
Yeah, we're in the Rockies. You had this extra pair of Lost DVDs this whole time?
Yeah.
That's from Dumb and Dumber for Mike Campbell, who probably got that reference.
Wearing 2 pairs of gloves.
Speaking of Mike Campbell references and our listeners, do you want to move along?
Yeah, but I just wanted to say real quick that part about J.J. Abrams of the cell phone. They took a picture of the hatch while it was during construction. Sorry, the bunker with a cell phone, and they showed
it's
it.
What
to,
it is, dude?
And they showed it to J.J. Abrams, and he criticizing. He said, "Oh, it looks like something out of Star Trek." And to me, I thought, "Well, that's great." What did he say? "Oh, that looks like something out of Star Trek." Fuck it, I'll direct a Star Trek movie. Bring it on. Where's that contract?
I told Ben it probably looked like it was from Star Trek because it's got like a tricorder cell phone.
That looks like something out of Star Trek.
Set phasers to nerd.
Okay, so yeah, let's talk about
something that one of our loyal listeners, Amy, brought up on
I'm
our...
sorry, Amy?
No, Amy from Little Rock.
Oh, Amy. Yeah. Amy in Little Rock.
Amy in Little Rock.
Amy in Little Rock. I apologize.
A-I-L-N-R. A-I-L-R. A-I-L-R is how she puts it, like, in her emails. But you know, the funny thing is, she also is the one that came up with the Lars.
Really?
Yeah, I saw that on one of the Blogspot messages. Hey, Ralph, are we going to get any new episode of the Lars? And I was like, that's fucking, how badass does that sound?
Sounds totally badass.
Bring on the Lars!
So I'm just chilling with the Lars, you know.
You know, like I do, like fucking I do. The Lars.
So, yeah, so she posed to us, 9 or 10?
I just put a quick blur. I only have my answers written down.
She gave us like 9 or 10 questions that she would like to see us answer, and we're going to do it, because I thought they were very thought-provoking.
Yes, and we will discuss those now. So do you have the questions written down?
Yes, I do.
Okay, read the question.
First question. What is your favorite episode and why? I assume she means of Lost.
Oh, because I was gonna say it's Four Eyes from Little House on the Prairie.
I was going to say Good Grief from Arrested Development.
Okay. I actually watched Four Eyes today at my sister's house. She's, you know, Mary's starting to lose her eyesight.
I know. Nice. They have to.
But she got her glasses, so everything's okay.
Oh, everything's going to be all right.
That was the Little House on the Prairie marathon in TV Land for the holidays, right?
Yes, that's right.
He switched it over from TNT real quick.
Yes.
From the Christmas Story marathon.
Non-stop, 24 hours at my sister's house, Christmas Story from beginning to end.
Not my favorite film. We won't go into that.
Yes.
Okay, so what is your favorite episode, Ralph, and why?
I wrote down Walkabout and or 23rd Psalm, and then I realized I think my favorite episode would have to be, I would say Orientation. Did you also say Orientation?
I also.
Good, now we can discuss one thing.
we'll just talk about Orientation
was great because it was one of those things where Lost usually... gives you a clue and keeps you dangling, and this was like one of the first time they actually like found something and then showed you it immediately, and what they showed you fucking freaked you out, blew your mind, and just like showed you all kinds of stuff that you were just like, it was a relief. At the same time, it gave you all kinds of questions, and was just like, this is why I'm watching this show, is because they just pull this crap out of their ass, and it's just insanity.
Yeah, I mean, Ralph and I have talked before about those moments when you're watching this TV show with all your friends, and you're sitting there dumbfounded. My mouth is hanging agape, and I'm on the edge of my seat, and I can't for the life of me change my expression because I'm so enraptured with this show. And for me, Orientation just totally flipped the whole series upside down. It took everything in a direction that I couldn't possibly have expected. I was very blown away by it.
So the Lars say
orientation. Okay. Second
What's
question.
Your orientation, by the way?
north northwest.
Sweet. I'm in Anaheim. I'm on the Frapper map.
Frapper map.
Which we'll discuss later.
Who is your favorite character and why?
There's so many awesome characters, but I'm gonna go with a true underdog here. I'm going to go with Jin.
That's pretty good.
Because I honestly think that as smart as and level-headed as Sai is, as Cracker's Banana as Jack is, as, you know, super awesome badass as Locke is, just because we don't know what Jin is saying, it doesn't make him, like, badass. I bet you there's all kinds... Once he starts learning English big time, He's going to be the great... He was a hitman, for crying out loud.
Yeah, and you know what? He's learning English at an amazing rate, which is another insight into how smart he is. Like, I think Jin is a good character. Yeah, good choice. My choice is Mr. John Locke. Because for me, he's just... He starts off with such potential. Like, he's this... Who is this guy, this crazy old man with his knives? And then you find out that he actually can hunt. And then you find out that he shouldn't be able to walk, apparently. And then it goes from that, and he becomes this tragic figure.
And he knows season. The history of backgammon.
Yes, that's right.
It was 5,000 years before Jesus was born.
Yep, and he knows
on this day.
It's a better game than checkers.
It is a better game than checkers. Because it's on my cell phone.
My close seconds, there are everybody else.
Well, what's your... Now, let's... What about... Let's... How about this? Let me throw this question out. Who's your favorite female character? Libby.
Yeah, well, of course, I know you're going to say Libby. I think my...
But she's dead, so is Son.
You could say
Shen
Libby.
Is dead too, so...
We didn't say Libby.
But Libby's my number. I say Libby.
My favorite female character... I'm going to go with Kate.
Yeah, I was watching that... on the beach with Evie. You're right.
She's beautiful. She is a beautiful elven queen.
And if she's beautiful with freckles and can make Ben appreciate her, that's saying a lot.
Yes. But in addition to that, why she scores over Claire is she's got...
She doesn't have a crinkly face that scrunches up in the middle.
Because she has a more complex story.
The baby! The baby!
I'm the only Australian that loves peanut butter. All right.
It makes my mouth water.
It tastes like it's got butter inside.
Yeah, we're going to score really heavy with the Toaster Biscuits commercial.
1992.
Question 3. If they are going to wrap it up in 5 seasons, how do you see the next 3 seasons story arcs going?
Well, season 1, here's my thing. Season 1 was about our beloved fuselage middle section survivors. Second season was kind of about the tail section people. Mm-hmm. I think that they've talked about the third season being about the others.
Okay.
My fourth season, I believe, is about the mysteries. It might tie up the mysteries and show exactly what's going on. It's not going to be good. It's going to be really dark. It's going to be like The Empire Strikes Back.
The dark before the
yes.
end.
And then season 5 will be redemption, the light at the end of the tunnel, and all that good stuff.
And
all
just
the
full of Muppets.
Full
season
of
6.
Ewoks, and full of Boba Fetts, and full of Jabba
Draculas.
The Hutt. There's going to be all kinds of Draculas and Chewbaccas. There's going to be Sarlacc pits, and like 15 slave Leias.
Okay. Mine's a lot longer than that. I said that the...
longer than that?
Mine's a schlonger than that. Season 3, the first pod is Jack, Kate, and Sawyer okay. finding out why the others are there and why they're actually the good guys.
They are the good guys. That's the one thing I believe from fake Henry Gale's mouth.
Yeah. And pod 2 is conflict between the fake others, the real others, and the survivors. Season 4, I said, is Penny getting closer to finding them. Michael finally owning up to where he came from and where everyone is. Like, it takes him a whole season, I think, to start to help them back on the island. And on the island, things have totally changed from seasons 1 and 3. Some of our survivors have teamed up with the others. All the lines are blurred and things are in a siege state. And it's going to be, I think, this is just all speculation, like crazy, but I think season 4 is going to, it is entirely possible that they'll skip ahead 5-10 years. And which will make me totally sad, like the day I came home and it wasn't Lion Voltron anymore, it was Cars Voltron.
There weren't even cars in Voltron. It was like one was a box that looked like a chest that rolled around.
Yeah, it's like that feeling where you come home and your favorite cartoon has changed. It's gonna be like that. I'm gonna watch my favorite show and it's gonna be 5 years down the line and like 3 people will have died in the intervening and Aaron will be walking. And something happens to tip the balance, and in the final episode of the 4th season, they get rescued. And then the 5th season is them back in the real world, and... Mentally insane. The conflict that happened on the island has now followed them to the real world, and they're also going to have to deal with whatever lies or balances they struck on the island.
Escaping from, like, government people trying to hush them?
Yeah, entirely possible. Yeah.
Ooh, and then they could build an army.
Yeah, that's right. Go straight to Anna Lucia for that.
All right, let's jump to the next question.
Who would win in a fight between the Others and the Fuzees, assuming no weapons were involved and the numbers were equal?
Tiny Ditka.
I say the Others. They have experience being on the island. They seem to survive. I'm not aware that any of them have been eaten by smoke monsters. I say the Others. What do you say?
Let's see. I said the real Others or the fake Others?
Let's not get into that.
Okay.
The people we know, I guess the people we know.
I would have to say the Others, yeah.
All right. Sweet. Let's go on to the next
Especially
one.
Especially
Tom. Tom will kick some ass. That dude was drinking up in Beer Fest, which everyone should go see.
Yeah, he was great in that.
Mr. Friendly Tom was awesome.
So the next one is, what about a fight between Locke and fake Henry Gale?
I put Gale all the way. If Gale can get into Locke's head so easily,
yeah,
Locke, there's nothing Locke can do.
You know what, that's funny, this is what I said. If Locke is allowed to fight and not conflicted by fake Henry Gale's mind poison, then Locke.
Okay, let me switch this up. Locke, season 2 or season 1? What do you think about season 1 Locke?
Season 1 Locke, without a doubt, would take Gale down.
Yes.
Season 2 Locke has too much conflict inside.
I would think that Locke would be so angry by his conflict and confusion, they would use that and just be like, I'm tired of being there, and he would just like attack him, just go after him.
And you know what, that makes sense too. Yeah.
I see that. So I'm going to go against the grain here and say that's good.
See, physically, I'd say Locke any day, but Henry Gale's got, like wiry insanity about him. Like, he had what's-her-face in a sleeper hold. Anna Lucia, right? When she, like, loosened his bonds? Or was it Kate? I don't remember.
Kate never saw Gale.
I picture it being, like, Luke Skywalker when he's like, I'll turn your sister as well. I'm like, no! It just, like, comes out swinging and just it's just...
Yeah, and the Ponda Babas come out, and then...
and all the... All the Frankensteins.
And
a fight between Echo and the Black Smoke Monster.
Smoke.
Echo.
Oh, what?
They already faced off.
No.
And who backed down? Little smoky bitch.
Because
Echo
Smoke
was like,
wins.
What's up, Smoke? And Smoke's like, I'm out of here. Trailing a little cloud of yellow smoke from between its legs.
It didn't have legs.
I'm saying it pissed itself, that's all.
That was Echo peeing into the smoke.
That's how he got rid of it. Actually, that's how the smoke started. He was peeing on a fire. Between Vincent and the shark.
Shark. Any day is a shark.
The shark. Because the only way they would fight is if Vincent gets into the water, and the shark's gonna paw him in the water.
Have you seen those footage of, like, sharks, like, going up on land and killing seals?
Yes. Shark.
Yeah.
A golden retriever has no chance.
Yeah. Unless he peed on him.
Unless Walt's watching and he uses his crazy mind powers.
To cripple
the shark.
That's
not a fair fight.
No, it's a shark.
Dog smarter than a shark, that's all I gotta say.
Well, yeah, it's smarter.
This is my favorite question. I hope your answer is different than mine.
If you were on the island, which group would you be living in?
You go first.
Okay, I would be with the Survivor Unpopulars. So I'd be with the Fuzees, but I wouldn't be with, like, the Jack and Kate, the A-team. I'd be hanging out with Froger, and I'd I'd be trying to meet that girl in the striped shirt.
Guy with the... Oh, yeah. Her. This is the group I chose. Anna, Lucia, Libby, Shannon, Boone, and Scott.
with your Ouija board? Or would you be dead?
Screw that, dude. I'm done with that island.
After 2 days of being stranded in trees...
If I see a Nigerian man pissing on a smoke monster, I'm done.
You're shooting yourself.
I've cashed in my chips.
Sawyer, can I borrow that gun real quick? Yeah, sure.
I'm swimming out with Joanna. No, don't worry about me, Jack. Just save Boone.
Yeah,
no,
save...
trust me, I'm fine.
I'm out.
I don't
I'm
care how Boone
out.
Thinks. No, I'm done.
And the final question, which is a good one, is, do you believe there is a logical or scientific explanation for everything on the island? Or do you believe that there are supernatural elements to the show?
Who's to say that supernatural can't be scientific?
That's a good point. My answer is everything that will happen on Lost is something that can happen on our planet Earth.
My answer is a Dodge.
Dodge. Yeah, Ralph Dodge. No, I think it's like, did you see Troy?
Yeah, he was over here the other day. I told him to get the...
No
way,
you little... the movie Troy starring Brad Pitt is... about the Trojan War, and if you read the Iliad, It's about the gods specifically interacting with it. But Troy just shows it from a human point of view, and if there are gods messing with it, who knows, because we never know.
Yeah.
I think it's like that. I think if anything supernatural is happening, that's up to your interpretation, but nothing's going to levitate without there being magnets doing it, I think.
Yeah. Or hallucinations, which has happened to Jack, Charlie.
Boom.
Boom. So who knows?
Yeah. But that's what that hallucinations are saying.
And I would like to thank Amy for the questions.
Good questions, Amy.
She said she's going to be bored this weekend. Which she shouldn't be, because she should be listening to this episode like 1,500 times in a row.
Right.
But if she wants...
It'll be like a Christmas marathon of our show.
That's sad to be bored after Christmas.
It is.
You know,
she's just going to be bored after Christmas.
Oh, okay.
This weekend would be...
She'll have a blue Christmas. Without any problems.
Watch the Little House on the Prairie marathon. Unboxing it.
All right, so...
Okay.
Now we're going to throw it over to shout-outs or what?
No, this is what we're going to do. Okay, folks, here's the deal. Dharma Lars is a new podcast.
Yes.
And we have yet to really get into a good, like, current episode recap kind of show.
Yeah, well,
we don't have we don't really have a format for the Dharma Lars yet.
We chose to start our show while Lost was in hiatus, which made a lot of sense, really.
It did. Frankly, it did make a lot of sense.
The best time to talk about Lost is when it's not on.
When there's absolutely nothing. So I've worked up a format. I haven't discussed this with Ben or Ryan yet, so I'm going to discuss it now and see what they think.
Okay.
Now, of course, with any other podcast, we're just going to start off the show with our banter, our normal, you know, dick and fart jokes and stupid talking about just lame stuff, pop culture junk. Just normal, just
good.
Talk about our weeks, how we're going, and then get into our Lost stuff.
I like that so far.
Now, here's the first idea I had, which I'm not sure if you want to go for. Which is the immediate recap of the following show.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I think that makes sense.
But no, like literally as soon as the show's over, record a 5-minute conversation of, like, our immediate response.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
And then whenever we decide to record the episode that weekend, or we were talking, like, Thursdays, to plug that into the show and then... think about where we went wrong and think about it, like, kind of let it marinate, the ideas marinate, and then essentially based our actual, like, live show on our discussions and things that we thought about since watching the show.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. It's like
that's up to Ryan.
It's like a time capsule.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
You want to know something? I am completely supportive of you guys. Completely.
He is. Okay. Producer Ryan, I'd like to give big shout-outs. Always bringing the laptop and opening it.
Our over the boulder shoulder holder.
That's right.
Producer Ryan.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We love Ryan.
I'm your guys' bra. Like, I think that's going to be, instead of Wind Beneath the Wings now, it's like, I'm your bra.
You are the bra beneath my boobs.
Okay. So we'll do second thoughts, and then we'll get into some new stuff. Maybe talk about... the next week on Lost and give our own theories out.
Okay.
Nothing too big. I mean, by the time you listen to our podcast, there's, like, already all the other podcasts you've already listened to.
Yeah.
You have the web pages. So it's not going to be an extensive podcast. It's not going to be too long. I'd shoot for, like, a half hour.
Okay. Yeah.
To 45 minutes each week.
I like it so far.
There's one thing that I haven't heard any other podcast do, which is something that I'd like to do, is discuss the music of the show.
Okay.
Yeah,
definitely.
The score by Michael Giacchino, as well as the source music that you hear throughout the show,
yeah.
I.e., the, what's the, Pat Boone? Who is it? What's the name of the lady?
Mama Cass?
Mama Cass did one. Pat Boone is a dude.
So it turns out that Pat Boone's a dude.
Who's the lady? Forget it. Anyway,
but I know what you mean. Like,
music
any,
from the show.
Songs, yeah.
I'm really into film music and incidental music, so, you know, send us what you think on the thing, on the stuff. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, I like that. Page. I think that'll be good.
And then I discussed with... we are taking phone calls, which we'll get to in a minute. But I don't want to do it the way that other podcasts do it, because it's really tough to get phone calls situated on the show. But what I was going to planning on doing is something similar to what the Transmission did on their podcast. And I went as far as to... send Ryan an email, Ryan from the transmission, an email, and ask him if it was okay in tribute to their former podcast. The podcast is no longer with us.
The podcast that broke the ice.
Yeah, to do what they did, which is play all the calls at the end of the show so people can give their 2 cents, so they can throw out their shout-outs, and in a segment called You All Everybody.
And it'll be a lot easier than trying to introduce each song, and each phone call, excuse me, and then drop it in.
So call the Dharma line, which we'll discuss in a second. Leave your theories, give a shout-out, say whatever you want to say, whatever's on your mind, and we'll play it in a section called You All Everybody, a tribute to the transmission.
I like that very much.
Yeah, and that'll be a good way, and we'll end the show out with that, and then...
Yeah, that way we can see everyone acting like they're stupid people wearing expensive clothes.
Yes.
It'd be very important, I think, to learn that about
them. Now let's get into the past. Since our last recording, a lot has happened with Dharmalars. Our MySpace page has changed. It's all yellow. We have the new yellow Dharmalars logo. Yeah. We have the what I'm calling the monster logo, which is the DOS prompt that is on the computer in the bunker, which I always thought, as soon as I saw it, it looked like a little monster guy going, meh, 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 meh. Mayor.
And it's rotated 90 degrees like an emoticon.
Yes, and so that's our monster logo. And here's what's going on with all the changes with Dharmalars. We still have our MySpace page. I recommend everybody go to our MySpace page, sign up for our blog, check out all the stuff we have going. Me and Ben post all the time. Ryan, you need to start posting, just, you know...
Nobody wants to hear Ryan's laugh factory. Just
post a laugh or two.
But okay. Subscribe to it. You'll get updates from us automatically through that, and you could put comments. It's a lot of fun. Also, as we mentioned before, we have a Frapper map, which is Frapper, frappr.com/
He said
slash Dharmalars.
You did say
And you can actually access our Frapper map from our MySpace page.
Yeah.
So stick a pin in the Frapper map. Let us know where you are. We have a listener that popped up from Finland.
Yeah.
I know our good friend Dylan, who has moved to China, like BFE China, like near Mongolia.
Yeah, like on the other side of the wall.
For
the good side.
He's there for like 6 months or 5 months. So Dylan, hello.
Hey Dylan, miss you, buddy.
And we're saying hey to him, and get your pin stuck on the Frapper map,
dude. Stick a pin in the map so people can see where China is.
Stick a pin in the dick of Florida.
That's right.
Somebody... Blanche, if you're out there, I'd like to get in contact with you. Yes. We love Florida.
We do. I like Florida.
I like Florida a lot.
Bad Boys 2, awesome movie.
My parents and I saw a space shuttle launch in Florida one time. Yeah.
Might move there.
Oh, well, there you go.
For business.
Business.
Ryan's an astronaut.
It's true. I have an evil, honey-loving astronaut.
You filthy astronaut. You're both of those references. Mike Campbell, get on those references.
Yeah.
We also have access on the MySpace page, the Dharmalar shop.
Yeah.
Which you could buy a bunch of useless crap. You can buy useful crap. You could buy things for dogs. You could buy things for emo kids. You could buy hats. You can buy clocks, you could buy mouse pads, gurnals.
Yeah.
Anything you want.
And as soon as Ralph and I get our first order, we'll take some pictures and put them up on the MySpace page, and you can see the items in actual use.
I'm actually just about to become an uncle for the first time. I'm really excited about that. And there is a baby item on there.
There's a baby item, which is my favorite item on there.
I'm actually considering purchasing it because it's really awesome.
The baby item has
I'm sorry. That was very non-committal of me. I am going to purchase it.
Oh. Because you were talking about feeling strongly about considering the
belated Christmas present.
That was the promise ring
of buying something.
Check out the junk. It's a lot of fun.
Check out my junk.
Get some pins. They're only 99 cents. If there's any profit made in that, it goes towards the feed that Craig is graciously letting us use.
Yeah.
It's non-profit.
It's our piggyback fee.
Yes. It's in support of Machma Sass and keeping the sass alive. Let's talk about our new email address. Dharmalars@gmail.com. Can't get any easier than that.
Pretty simple to remember.
We all have the password here. Send us a message. We'll respond.
Because it's all about talking about Lost and stuff that we like. with as many people as we can. So if someone wants to send us an email and talk about stuff, awesome. That's great. That's why we're here.
Yes. And we might read your email on there if it's awesome. Only if it's awesome.
We should buy a whole bunch of the pins and then, like, give a pin out every week for the best email.
That sounds good to me. But they're like 99 cent pins. I guess we could.
We'll buy the $500 pins and pass those out.
Oh, man, those are, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's a
good prize. Well, I'll look into the Darmlar shop store and see if we can't, like, provide gifts for people just through Cafe Press.
Rather than have it shipped to us and then
shipped to them. Yeah, we'll see.
We'll be
gifty.
I probably should come up with ideas like this while we're recording.
You know what? Instead of, like, we'll see, because that's we'll make it worth your while. How about that?
We'll make it worth your while.
You write it, we put it on there, we'll make it worth your while.
And our last bit of business for today before we sign off on this glorious Christmas is
I can't wait to go outside and go sledding.
We live in California.
Yeah.
I actually had snow on my lawn for Christmas one Christmas
in Anaheim
in Brea, California.
Whoa!
We had somebody visit us from Lake Arrowhead, and he had snow on top of his car. What? It smells.
It's home. Brea is awesome, though. It's the home of James Cameron and the guy previously mentioned Walmart.
Yes. the guy from Metallica. I forget which one is
Lars
from Brea.
Ulrich.
Oh my god, if it's Lars, what does that mean?
Dude, the Lars are here to stay.
Speaking of Lars.
So, here comes the last bit of business we're doing. Alright, the Dharma line. Which is a phone line that you can call, kind of like a hotline. Leave a message, we'll play it in the section, you all, everybody. And that number is 206-338-4261. Ben?
All regular charges will apply.
That's 206...
206-338-4261, the Dharma line.
Yeah, we need to come up with, like, the Empire Carpet version of that.
206-338. A jingle,
yes,
if you will.
A little jingle.
Jingle all the way.
Yes, because it's Christmas.
The first thing I did when I got the Dharma line number is figured out what it spelled. And it says, if you look at it, there's a couple of extra letters in there, but it does contain I, zero Ethan.
Ooh.
So, Dharma line is evil.
Oh, man.
But that's it. That's the way to contact us. The MySpace page, myspace.com/DharmaLars. Check it out. All the information that we've given you is on there. And that's all she wrote.
Just real quick, I want to say thank you to Jay and Jack.
Yes, thank you very much to Jay and Jack.
They talked about us on one of their podcasts this week. It was very nice to hear such nice things from such cool dudes.
Thank you. That was very nice.
It's like it had extra weight because I knew that they were good guys.
So. They're great guys. I'm glad that we had a chance to meet. That was nice.
So that was cool.
And
we already gave Scott big ups.
Totally.
So yeah.
Yes. Everybody, have a happy holiday.
That's
Ben,
right.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Rob. Merry Christmas, Ryan.
Peace on earth, goodwill towards men.
I will see you in a week from tonight for New Year's Eve.
I'll be bringing a top hat and a bottle of champagne.
I will be bringing a bottom hat.
And a topple of champagne.
And a bottle. And a bottle of Seven Deadly Gators. You know, I'd rather have champagne with my real friends than real pain with my sham friends.
So true.
And I'd rather have shampoo with my real friends than real poo with my sham friends.
So truer words were never spoken this holiday season. Thank you. What?
This is where you end. That's
Okay. So and
scene. Anyway, guys, that's the Darmlars episode for today. We will see you in the future. And I hope you enjoyed the show. Go get your Lost DVD.
Yeah.
And enjoy it.
Enjoy it like we do. And from all of us here in beautiful Anaheim and at the Darmalars Mansion, I'm Ben Johnson. Ho, 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 I got a machine gun.
And this is Ralph. Some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill. And now a special remix of the song, Do You Know How Christmas Trees Are Grown? By the Darmalars' good friend, Beth.